is cutting, replacing father allows the replacement of the catechism, normal catechism, adult catechism person, and agreed with Dylan was hoping that there would be a continuation even this morning of the session with on family. So combine the two, there's a kind of spillover from the family session this morning, and Dylan will set me up or push my back to the wall, and I will attempt to answer. The reason is that I'm guessing that Dylan, with 8 little children of his own right now, has an idea of family problems in family life as it is today. I have an idea of much, if you like, much broader things, but the question of the family is of enormous importance. So let Dylan tell me what, so to speak, families need, what answers families need.
Thank you, Your Excellency. Welcome again to New Jersey, Bishop Williamson. We're very honored to have you here today. We have 30 minutes. I don't think I can cover all the family problems that we're all having in 30 minutes. But what we're planning to do today, after a series of fireside chats with His Excellency, which we'll be making available, as Father Robinson said, we wanted to speak today about family life in the end times. Today's world for families is a crushing one. And so we wanted to get from Bishop Williamson some guidance, since he's speaking tonight about the end times of Boston, how families can conduct themselves for their own good and insofar as they can for the salvation of other souls in these times. So my first question, Your Excellency, is what does the Church, how does the Church define the end times, and are we in them?
If I understand right, I thought a bit about these things and I've read a bit about these things. There are two different moments in world history. One is the end of the world and the other is the end of times. The end of times is an expression of our divine Lord, speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And he says this Jerusalem will remain, Jerusalem will destroy, Jerusalem will be destroyed until the end of times. And it doesn't say the end of the world. And then the Jews will return. Now the Jews are returning to Jerusalem today. The end of times in Greek is not the word chronos or chronometer or chronology, meaning time like on a watch. It's another Greek word, kairos, meaning rather opportunity. Therefore, the end of times is the end of opportunities. The end of the opportunities for the Gentiles to enter the church. Unless the Gentiles have stopped profiting by making use of the gap left by the turning away the rift. When the Jews refused their Messiah, the Jews turned away from God. And that opened the breach in the people of God for the Gentiles to enter. From that apostasy of the Jews, which took place very soon after, was taking place already when they crucified our Lord, and took place, is going on ever since. The refusal of the Jews to recognize the Messiah has always been, up until quite recent times, the opportunity for the Gentiles to enter the church. One Gentile nation after another came into the church. So, for instance, France 496, England 598, and many other nations as well. The Gentiles flocked into the Catholic Church. With Vatican II, the end of the Gentiles too apostatized, you might say. The church turned away from God. The Catholic Church men turned away from God, following creating a new religion, a new humanist religion. This was Vatican II. And that pronounced the end of the times. But it's not yet the end of the world. So what we have to go through now, what we're surely coming to very soon, is the end of times. In other words, the closing of a whole period in the history of the church. Then there will be the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which he promised. This is a way of thinking about it. It's not true to the faith, but this seems to me a very reasonable way of putting it all together. The end of times, and then the triumph of the Heart of Mary, which at La Salette, she said, would not last all that long. She said 25 years at La Salette in 1846, she said 25 years of good harvest will make men forget. To gain prosperity will mislead men. Turn them, let them fall away from God. 25 years. So let's say the triumph of Alpha Mary, 38, 40 years maybe, and then comes the Antichrist, and then comes the end of the world. So what we're living through today is surely something very like the end of the world, parallel to the end of the world, parallel to the Antichrist, but not yet the end of the world, nor yet the Antichrist. But the corruption that we're seeing today of society all around us all the time is going to be very like what the corruption will be under the Antichrist. So it seems to me. So, what are we living through now? We're going through a definite major change in the history of mankind, and out of it, we're going to go through suffering, and out of it will come the triumph of the heart of Mary.
Thank you, Your Excellency. As far as the triumph of the heart of Mary is concerned, what can families do in order to hasten that triumph, if anything? Should we just stand around and wait for the triumph, since Our Lady did say it, or is there something that we can do as families, as individuals, to hasten our victory?
There's, I'd say, inside the home, action. Catholics can still act, can still do something inside the home, but I'm not sure there's very much they can do outside the home. Outside the home, the devil is in command. It's a frightening thought, it's a frightening thing to have to say. When I was last here, I talked about 9/11, and I showed, or had shown, a movie arguing very, very seriously that 9/11 was an inside job. Now, as I say, some of you may have thought that was politics. Some of me have thought that it had nothing to do with religion. As far as politics is concerned, I couldn't care two things. But such an event, such an enormous deception, if it was a deception, and personally I'm persuaded it was, not because I hate or scorn the United States, not at all. My country is capable of things just as wild. But because of the evidence, at first I believed 9/11 was what they said it was, but then as the arguments came out over the next couple of years, and then I read a book by an Austrian engineer and so on, now I'm absolutely persuaded that it was an inside job. It had nothing to do with 19-4 Arabs with box cutters. Nothing. It was so all of that to say that if I'm right, then it was a global fraud. A fraud which changed people's thinking all over the world. And a fraud which succeeded. All over the world you now have in the airports these x-ray machines which would have been impossible without 9/11. 9/11 persuaded everybody that we were all under grave threat from terrorism, and the terrorists are all about to jump on us and cut our throats, and that we must wage a global war on terrorism. Quite honestly, I think it's eyewash. Okay, I can be wrong. I don't think so, but I might be wrong. If I'm right, it follows that the devil is in possession of the public domain. He can get away with such a global lies and persuade and twist people's thinking all over the world, with the exception of those who look at the evidence and conclude, like I do, that it was a lie. All of this is often to say the public domain is under the control of the devil. And that's why I don't think there's much left that Catholics and obviously do in the public domain. In 2 days' time, you can vote against stem cell research. That's something that you can do, and it's something you shouldn't do. If it's part of you, God doesn't ask us the impossible. He does ask us to do what we can do. Right, what then can a family do today? It can pray inside the home. It can act inside the home. A family father, a man wants to get up and do something, especially Americans, want to do something about, when they see something wrong, they want to do something about it. There's not much that can be done. There's really not much that can be done. The police state is closing in tight. In England now, there is one camera for every 15 inhabitants. That's between 50 and 60 million inhabitants, and they've got cameras in public places everywhere. This is the George Orwell's 1984, and it's closing in on my own country. My own country is faster than the police state. And the police, what's astonishing, the people are apparently lying down and taking it. In other words, the governments are corrupt and the people are corrupt. The public government is corrupt, the public people are corrupt. There's not much that can still be done in public. A man wants to do something in public, but today he just may not be able to. He's pouring his water in sand, into the sand, or he's inviting the bad guys to throw him in jail. So, and the bad guys have got satellites all over their eyes, which can almost read the newspapers in our hands. The bad guys, think they've got it all under control. They have complete forgotten the Lord God. Either they think they can outsmart him, or they think he's resigned, or they think he's out of it. They think they've got it. And they think they're just about there on the brink of global power, of grabbing power in the entire globe. And they think, and they are pushing for the Third World War. They are pushing for the United States to attack Iran, because that could easily bring Russia in on the side of Iran. It could easily let loose the Third World War. And that's what they want. Because they think that as the First World War knocked down three Christian emperors, the Catholic Emperor of Austria-Hungary, the Protestant Kaiser of Germany, and the Russian Tsar, the Orthodox Tsar of Russia, they all were knocked down by the First World War and over the way of Freemasonry. And the Second World War was a triumph of liberalism and communism. It had very little to do with our Lord. It was a great advance of communism, of course, in Europe. Communism took over half Europe thanks to the Second World War. Thanks to the Third World War, the communism, which mutated into globalism, Stalinist communism was the hard version, globalism is the soft version. The soft globalism is now taking over everywhere, and these police states, thanks in large part over the last few years to 9/11, and the way 9/11 has changed people's minds, and said, oh sweet dear government, do please take our liberties, if only you will give us security. Oh sure, give me your liberties. Come unto ye, you poor and dispossessed, and give me all your liberties, and I will give you my police state security. And you will be little police state rabbits, and you will do what I say. Oh, thank you, government. Thank you. Terrorism is so terrible. Ooh, thank you, dear government. This is happening in my own country. It's the English, the blood-minded, heart-sick-neck English, are lying down and taking one camera for every 15 inhabitants. Can you imagine the poor so-and-sos that earn their money by having to watch a whole bang of TV cameras somewhere? Earn their money by watching TV, thousands and thousands of these cameras maybe banged around an iPhone. The whole thing is nuts. Completely nuts. But what it means is what I think that the end conclusion I draw is there's not much even a good man, a regular man, can do today outside his home. But inside the home, there's still liberty. There is still liberty inside the home. So what can a family do inside the home is get the little children to pray, teach the little children to pray, and pray the family rosary. Above all, the family rosary. The rosary is very powerful. I'm sure many of you are already praying the family rosary. Do believe that, funnily enough, that's the greatest thing you can do. That's the most powerful thing you can do today. You know, it's even more powerful than what you as a man can go and do in the office for what is really good in the world. Of course, you need to go to the office, you need to put bread on the family's table in order for the family to be able to continue to pray the rosary. But there's not much a man can still do in the public, I just don't believe. So, pray the family rosary and fill the children in a sane and balanced way with their religion, with a strong, firm, normal religion, Catholic religion, so that when they have to leave the nest, which we don't know how soon that's going to be, we don't know, you know, the timetable of the Lord, we have no idea, but if when they have to fly the nest, our Lord and our Lady will be inside in such a way that whatever comes out from the outside, all the muck and nonsense and corruption coming from outside will bounce off. So fill the children, teach the children with good religion, and love your wives and obey your husbands. That's what St. Paul says. Wives, obey your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And that's very important also inside the home. So that there's harmony in the home, so the children feel that security of harmony between mum and dad. And again, the world is trying to do its best to tear that to pieces. Women run on love, and men run on respect. We have egos, and those egos must be looked after. That's how we run. We don't run on love, but we wrong, be admired. So ladies, don't forget it. And men, don't forget that your dearly beloved wives, they need to be loved. It's as simple as that. That's what St. Paul says. Husbands, cherish your wives and do not be cruel to them.
Well, thank you, Your Excellency. So I guess the devil has the public, so we can work inside our home. You know, we still have to live outside in the world. And one of the things that I wanted to read is this full quote from A Lady of Good Success from 1634. This apparition in which, speaking about the 19th and 20th centuries, she says, "The third meaning of the lamps going out is that in those times the air will be filled with the spirit of impurity which, like a deluge of filth, will flood the streets, squares, and public places. The licentiousness will be such that there will be no more virgin souls in the world. A fourth meaning is that by having control of all the social classes," this is what you were saying, Excellency, "the sex will tend to penetrate with great skill into the heart of families to destroy even the children. The devil will take glory in feeding perfidiously on the heart of children. The innocence of childhood will almost disappear. Thus, priestly vocations will be lost. It will be a real disaster. Priests will abandon their sacred duties and will depart from the path marked out for them by God. Then the church will go through a dark night, for lack of a covenant father to watch over it with love, gentleness, strength, and prudence. And numbers of priests will lose the spirit of God, thus placing their souls in great danger." I don't think it needs to be spelled out for any parents today that this is exactly what we're still living through. Whether we go to the grocery store, whether we go to Walmart, wherever we go, we're accosted on all sides with all of our senses. And so, even if we try to do things at home to fortify the children, we still have to bring them outside. You know, any practical guidance, Your Excellency, on how to do that, how to live this way without isolating ourselves and just boarding up the windows, locking the doors, and just putting God away on vacation signs outside the front?
It's a very serious question. I have no silver bullet answer. I really don't. Who does? All I can say is that God does not expect the impossible, He does expect the possible. And as I say, I think the key is to fortify the children from within. If you fortify the children within, so that then what comes from without can no longer, finds the fortress occupied. I can remember, I was telling you the last couple of days, I once visited a family of a French mother of nine in France. She was a talented woman and mother, and she was a musician, and all the children played an instrument. And they made a little orchestra. There were eight of the children. The ninth was only 4 years old. They made an orchestra, and they played this Mozart. And it was, there was a horn and a clarinet and a flute and a violin and a mother played on the piano. And then the 4-year-old Henry, that time, sat on my knee. He ended up on my knee. And I could see, he was listening at 4 years old to that Mozart. He was listening. And yet it was going straight in. And I said to myself at that time, when this child grows up, rock is going to bounce off. Rock won't get in. There's a good chance the rock is just not going to get in. Because rock is not going to find the fortress empty, waiting to be taken over. Rock is going to find Mozart already there. And judged by Mozart, rock is poor stuff. It's rhythmically poor. It's rhythmically but it's very poor. There's no variety. There's nothing like the rhythm in Mozart. There's nothing like the melody in Mozart. And there's nothing like the harmony in Mozart. Mozart is a great master. Rock is poor stuff. Some of the rockers are talented musicians, actually. And there is some talent in some of their pieces. But the genre of the rock as such is empty compared with the classics, with great musicians from the past like Mozart. Therefore, little Harmony, Henry, little Henry, is going to listen to hear rock, he's going to meet it. But it's going to meet Mozart already in the spot. And if Henry has got a look soaked in Mozart, he's going to think, what's this miserable stuff? He's not going to want to listen to it. That's a little example of if the fortress is occupied inside, it doesn't matter it matters much less what muck and corruption will attack from outside. because it's going to be something already there to me to bounce off. Therefore, inside the home, St. Paul says in the fourth chapter of Philippians, teach everything, teach what is good, teach what is comely, teach what is beautiful, teach what is noble. All of these things, he says to the Christians, not just the children, expose yourself to these things and, especially for children, leave aside the evil. Protect them for as long as you can in the home, because obviously it is limited to how much you can protect them. But, and then guide them. I mean, the mother has to go to the supermarket, she has to take her children with her, as somebody was saying just yesterday. And, there's a supermarket, they have this, that, and the other. Well, what can you say? In the end, you'd say two things. In the English proverb, where's the will, there's a way. If I want to shield my children from as much of this as I can, I will do it. If I want to, I will. I'll find a way to do it. For instance, we're going out checking out where the muck is laid out right by the checkout stands, the checkout counters of the supermarket. Go to the exit door and wait there until I meet you. So that he's not, he said, that's at the time of his arm. But if I want to shield my children as much as I can, I'll find a way to do it. That's right. It's still pressing and more pressing all the time, so it's not easy. No one is saying it's easy. Secondly, if it isn't, the less easy it is, the more reward, the greater the reward for doing everything you can. The greater the reward for mothers who suffer from this. If mothers suffer from having to try to protect their children, God will reward them for it. So think that there is, if it takes a great effort and a great pain to shield my children, there will be a corresponding reward. And then think thirdly that God is the master. And Our Lady has the devil under her feet. There are many of those statues where you see the serpent under her feet. So, once again, when it comes back to that, make sure that Our Lady is in the little children's hearts with the prayers at home. Normal, sane prayers. Nothing exaggerated, nothing sentimental, nothing slushy. Just normal, as though religion is the most natural, normal thing in the home, which it is. So make sure that the religion is natural and normal in your home. That the supernatural is natural, and then the natural is supernatural in your home. And if those little children absorb it from a very young age, even from a very young age, they'll grow up with it, the devil is going to have a lot harder time to get hold of them. So outside in public, there are little ways, little things that you can do, and if a mother keeps thinking of what she can do, she'll find the things to which the ways to work is. It's, I agree, it's tremendous pressure, but where there is a will, there is a way.
One of the challenges, though, and we appreciate folks having comments, trying to say, is that even if the family decides to do that, there are a lot of people that don't want to do that. And so, without that social support, a family can easily feel like they're isolated, alone, and I don't know if anybody else in the audience, I know that you're fighting, you feel like you're alone, and it's very tempting to give up.
Only a dead fish does not swim against the current. Only a dead fish drifts through the current. Any live fish is always more or less swimming against the current, usually dead fish. Catholics today, least of all today, you can't allow your way of thinking to follow the way of everybody else is thinking today. Everybody else is wrong. Tell yourself firmly, and tell yourself clearly, people today are wrong. And, forgive me for going back to 9/11, because I'm dead, and not all of you agree, but 9/11 is a classic case. It's a great lie, which people swallow. People are wrong. The government is wrong. The governments are wrong. Not just the United States, please. The governments have gone wrong. They lost their way. The leaders have lost their way, the universities have lost their way, the politicians have lost their way, the doctors have lost their way, they're turning many of them into, they don't look after the health of their patients, they may even be looking after the dead, the ones in the womb. The lawyers have lost their way, it's just what I can, if there's no idea of a natural justice, or it's, I'm seeking money in the law courts. The fact, you name it, the artists have lost their way, they're merchants of the ugly instead of the beautiful. Okay. Practically everyone has lost their way. The world has gone wrong. And it's my business not to go with it. I don't despise the poor people who've gone wrong with the world. In fact, I need a great deal of compassion. Today, compassion, I need a great deal of compassion in 360 degrees all around the campus. Because if when the devil has got hold of the game, a lot of people have missed it. A lot of people, as I once said, know not what they do. They're doing wrong without even thinking about it or realizing it. Of course, some realize perfectly well. And maybe those deserve little compassion. Although they deserve compassion for the terrible hell that they're going to have for all eternity. There are villains who know exactly what they're doing. But a lot of people are missing it today, and therefore needs a good deal of compassion. But the world is wrong. Even if I'm going to have compassion, even if I'm not going to despise my poor neighbors, I'm not going to behave like the Pharisee in the Gospel, or thank you God for making me a traditional Catholic because I'm that much better than anybody else. That's no good. The publican, dear Lord, please forgive me. You've given me your religion, which is a trick. You've given me to see that Catholic tradition is true, and today that's a tremendous gift, but I'm still a poor, poor sinner. Please, Lord, have mercy upon me, just like on everybody else on the block. But that's not a reason to go with everybody else on the block. I am a sinner, they are sinners. But I'm a sinner that can't go the way the Lord they are going. I can't do it. They're wrong. Whether they know it or not, whether they realize it or not, the poor things are wrong. W-R-O-N-G. They've gone wrong, they're going wrong, and the whole world today is heading for destruction. It's heading for a chastisement. Normally speaking, there's a tremendous chastisement on its way. Our Lady has warned us of it, has spoken of it. Would you like, if you'd like to ask you to agree with us? Yes. I frequently quote Our Lady of Akita in Japan. October 13th, thanks, I think that's a really good one. October 13th, 1973. More than one person's offered to lend me a spectacle. I have got a pair, I just didn't have them on the pulpit. I still think I can get away with it. I'm getting old. Yes, I am. My dear Lord, listen well to what I have to say to you. You will inform your superior. The mother of God speaking to a religious, a kind of lay religious society of the Holy Eucharist in the north of Japan, a little congregation. After short silence. This is Fatima Day, that remember October 13th, so the Mother of God is tying her message to Fatima. Is it the Mother of God? Yes, because the local bishop has examined the whole episode, all of the phenomena, all of the words, everything involved, and he said Catholics may believe that this is the truth. And some of you may have heard this message before. It's just this 1973, 33 years ago, 34 years ago. As I told you, says the heavenly voice, the heavenly feminine voice, if men do not repent and better themselves, the Father will inflict a terrible punishment on all humanity. It will be a punishment greater than the deluge, such as one will have never seen before. Fire will fall from the sky and will wipe out a great part of humanity, the good as well as the bad, sparing neither priests nor faithful. The survivors will find themselves so desolate that they will end the dead. The only weapons which will remain for you will be the rosary and the sign left by my son. We don't yet know what that sign is. Each day recite the prayers of the rosary. With the rosary, pray for the Pope, the bishops, and priests. And that's because, of course, the main trouble is inside the church. If the churchmen were still on their feet, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. But the church collapsed in Vatican II. The churchmen collapsed in Vatican II. Our Lady goes on. The work of the devil will infiltrate even into the church in such a way that one will see cardinals opposing cardinals, bishops against bishops. The priests who venerate them will be scorned and opposed by their colleagues. Churches and altars will be sacked. The church will be full of those who accept compromises, and the demon will oppress many priests and consecrated souls to leave the service of the Lord. The demon will be especially implacable against souls consecrated to God. The thought of the loss of so many souls is the cause of my sadness, because she saw, Sister Agnes saw a particularly sad expression on the statue that I read in the convent. If sin is increased in number and gravity, there will no longer be pardon for them. Meaning, for instance, there are no longer confessors in many big cities, or it's difficult to find a confessor in a big city today. With courage, speak to your superior. He will know how to encourage each one of you to pray and to accomplish works of reparation. So, very strong words from her. They seem to be to correspond exactly to the situation we're in. I honestly think we can expect a chastisement. And it's not that far away. Father Cranor thinks it's going to be within the next... He quotes a date within the next 10 years. He may be wrong. The prayers of the faithful may delay. Maybe the prayers of the faithful delayed it for the last 20 or 30 years. None of us know the date. The Lord God doesn't want us to know the date, but it can't be far off. A huge chastisement, such a worse even than the flood in the time of Noah. But don't worry. Don't worry to pray the rosary, keep the commandments, love my son, follow your holy religion, and leave the rest in God's hands. Do it.
Not so sure, I'm not going to worry. That sounds pretty dire. Your Excellency, as parents, though, at dinner for an angel, should these be the focus of our table conversations and letting our children know it's coming,
the bombs are going to blow up, and fire is going to fall from the sky.
It's going to be telling to our little children, or should we focus on making sure they eat their peas?
It's much more important that they eat their peas, especially if they don't want to. The children need to know, youngsters need to know, that the children, obviously, you dose what you tell children according as they grow up. As they grow up, they become ready to hear this, they become ready to hear that, they're ready to hear that. They might need to be adolescents before they need to hear about a chastisement like this one. But exceptionally, before they're adolescents, I don't know. But the important thing is that they grow up as straight as possible and as innocent as possible for as long as possible inside the home. That's the important thing. And that they learn the love of God, they learn their catechism, they learn the Ten Commandments. And then in time, when they begin to watch the world around them and look at the world around them, they can say, Mommy, Daddy, how can you, if this is true, then how can all the world not believe it? Darling, the world is wrong. Well, if the world is wrong, is God going to lie and go on and on and on? Darling, the world may be in for a big chastisement. That's obviously the moment when you might begin talking about it, but it's certain that the ordinary teaching and the ordinary lessons of home life, catechism to home life, are more important in the meantime.
Thank you, Your Excellency. Well, we're going to start going down so we can allow for some questions in the audience, but I think as a father, even though there are bad things happening in the world and it seems hopeless perhaps at times, or at least so, as you have been saying, that there could appear to be no hope. Nevertheless, I think for a lot of parents, our hourglass is upside down already anyway because our children are growing up, so we actually have to be people of Christian hope with an anchor in heaven. And could you give us any more words to inspire us, to encourage parents to keep going despite the odds, despite the world's pressures that are sometimes very crushing?
You said it yourself, the anchor in heaven. The classic symbol or picture symbol of the theological virtue of hope is an anchor. Mm-hmm. Hope is an anchor, and anchor is a hope. The anchor represents hope precisely because my hope is in heaven, my hope is not in this earth. I do not hope in the dollar. I do not hope in the British government. I do not hope in the majesty of the Queen. I do not hope in Wall Street. I do not hope in the whole lot of things in which people have put their hope in over the last 7 years. My hope is in the things of the Lord God. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. My hope is in the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's where our hope is. But I think it's important not to put one's hope, not to trust, as Americans have been for a long time trusted, and with reason. For a long time they've trusted their governments, their officials, this and that. But be very wary of trusting any of that now. House of Parliament, whatever it is, the French government, they're all in the hands of Freemasonry, in the hands of the enemy, and the enemy is, seems to be running the show. He's leading the dance. He's not. He has the impression he has. And he's in for a very severe shock. But then console yourselves, just as the triumph of Mary comes, it will come. But when it comes, you're going to breathe an enormous sigh of relief, and you're going to say, ah, now I can trust my government again. And then it's going to come the Antichrist, so be careful. The Antichrist is the subtlety of the corruption of the Antichrist, may be even more subtle and perverse than it is today. He's going to look very good, especially on the media. Because I dare say they will put the media together again by then. I don't know. So, let the children teach children to look to heaven. If God allows such an appalling situation mankind has sat in today, he has one reason for doing it, in order to save souls. And so if you and I make the right use of this appalling situation, it will help us to save our souls, it will help us to go higher in heaven. So it's not something that cannot be used. And I think that's a very important thought, that behind the God is allowing what's going on today, and he has a good reason for allowing it. Therefore, besides compassion for our fellow human beings, as the bombs start to fall, or as they threaten to fall, a great confidence in God. A great confidence in God. And if I stop and think of it, God is going to give us warning. If things are going to cut loose and break loose, if all the hell is going to break loose, we will be warned. The Lord God will make sure there's a way in which we will be warned. But then it may be quite sudden. As our Lord, as it says in Scripture, everybody will be saying, peace, 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 and just then, it's all going to break loose. And of course, but you can't today make a declaration of war. You make a declaration of war, and the other side fires off its rockets, and you're too late to fire off your own. You've got to, the declaration of war is only the firing off of your rockets, so that the other's rockets will hopefully not take off. So the first thing we're going to know about, the first thing we risk knowing about the third World War is the landing of the rockets. What fun. As St. Paul says, rejoice again, I say to you, rejoice. Everything is going to hell in a handbasket. Let's enjoy ourselves in supernaturally in that situation, because God is only allowing for that purpose.
To your point, Your Excellency, in light of our reading of these operations of Our Lady, St. Louis de Montfort says, in true devotion to Mary, but the power of Mary over all the devils will especially shine forth in the latter times, when Satan will lay his snares against her heel, that is to say, her humble slaves and her poor children, whom she will raise up to make war against him. They shall be little and poor in the world's esteem and abased before all like the heel, trodden underfoot and persecuted, as the heel is by the other members of the body. But in return for this, they shall be rich in the grace of God, which Mary shall distribute to them abundantly. They shall be great and exalted before God in sanctity, superior to all other creatures by their lively zeal, and so well sustained with God's assistance that, with the humility of their heel, in union with Mary, they shall crush head of the devil and cause Jesus Christ to triumph. Well, as a modern day father, I felt the feel like a heel. And I'm sure a lot of parents do also, but it's encouraging to know that the heel will crush the head of the serpent. And we thank you for giving us this guiding comments today, Your Excellency.
Sure.
We'd like to have some questions for anybody who's interested in asking a question.
That's fine, yes.
Perhaps a cut off in 8-7 minutes' time.
Okay, quick questions.
Do you think with Rome allowing the Sacramento Mass, is it historical?
Yes, I think it is. I think whatever be the Holy Father's intention, some people are highly distrustful of the motu proprio. They're very much afraid that it gets yet another trap like the Indians. But whatever be the intentions, let's assume that his intentions are as black as a bit of hell. Let's just assume. Still, he has, for one, declared that the true Mass is not abolished, condemned, suspended, abrogated, never has been. That's an enormous declaration of Papal Rome. It's enormous. It's exactly the opposite of everything that Rome has been pretending for 38 years. And he did it in a little sentence, a little sort of toss-off sentence. Of course, the true Mass has never been abrogated. Why didn't you say Holy Father? What? I don't know. What do I say? I personally don't judge his intentions to be too black. I can be wrong. God knows it doesn't matter. What matters is what's objective. What's objective is that the Pope has said that it's going to be very difficult for any other Pope to say, to once again try to say that the true Mass is bad. It's very difficult. He's really let the cat out of the bag at that point. Also, he has allowed objectively, he's clearly, there are several paragraphs giving a certain amount of liberty to the Tridentine Mass. Again, that's objective. It makes me think of grass pushing up to rasp through blacktop. The bishops of the United States, they're all pouring down blacktop more than ever on top of the Tridentine Mass to just try to smother it and kill it. But grass keeps pushing through blacktop. And the grace of the Mass is very, the true Mass is very powerful. And what you've got is in Argentina, in Italy, in France, in the United States, especially in the United States, some of you follow Father Novak and the Angelus, he's even said, stop sending money. Can't you imagine a Catholic priest saying, stop sending money? It's unbelievable. But he appealed a little while ago for money to print many more missals in accordance with the tremendous demand coming in. And so many people wanted to help the Angelus to print more missals, altar missals and hand missals, that they have enough to do the printing they want to do. But that's a way of saying just how much demand there has been. So, in little hidden ways, not in public, not maybe the hierarchy, not the bishops, not the cardinals, but in little ways down a grassroots level, grace is growing again, and it's going to continue growing. And that grass which is going to push up through however much asphalt they put on top of it. So there's just those two things alone. But I personally think that the motu proprio and the letter of the bishop show a certain amount of goodwill on the part of the Pope. I really do. They show also a good deal of confusion, of Hegelian confusion in his way of thinking. When he says, for instance, that there are two forms of the same right. No, there are two rights of two religions in a deadly war. And one of those religions and one of those rights is going to be killed off. And the bishops wanted to be the old right and the old religion is killed off. But the Holy Father was given another chance. For that old religion, he's given another chance. And you and I know that that's the religion that's going to win this war. It's the new religion that's going to be killed off. And the new Mass. It's simply a matter of time now. But the fight is by no means over. By no means over. The bishops are more adamant than ever. The devil is more furious than ever. Here in the United States, we heard of the violent opposition of a certain race, which I cannot name, to the motu proprio. I can't name them because it's completely political, politically incorrect to name these people. But what you can say is that what these people hate is most likely to be good, and what they love is most likely to be bad. They hate the motu proprio, so there must have been quite a lot of good in the motu proprio. And when you think of how it's not the very beginning, but it's a very serious step in the reversal of the catastrophe of Vatican II and the new Mass. And in that sense, it surely is, I would say, historic, yes. Yeah. Ask one more question, and then I think we're going to begin. Yes.
Le week-end dernier où les catholiques non tradis ont suivi la procession et où le chapelain de Lourdes a demandé un prêtre de la fraternité pour dire la messe dans la crypte pour les motus proprio.
Ah oui, yes, that's it. In Lourdes, last weekend, says our friend, in Lourdes last weekend, a large number of the new ordinary Catholics, let's just say mainstream Catholics, follow the traditional procession. And the chaplain of Lourdes actually asked for society priests to celebrate the Tridentine Mass in accordance with the motu proprio. But the war is not over. You and I know which way the war is going to go, because God is God. But the devil is not going to give up. The devil is not about to roll over and play dead. No way. No way, Jose. So don't think the fight is over. Don't think that we've won. Don't think we can lean back on laurels. Don't think we can give up. It continues.
I just wanted a word of thanks then from the bishop for taking his time to talk to us this morning. And
There's a bit of a collection basket if you have any excess cash for his travel and expenses and personal expenses. So thank you again, my lord. Thank you, Dylan, too, for what he's done. And do look for that.
And also to the fidelity to the truth, may Our Lady always keep you faithful, Your Excellency.